Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk, and this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk. And first off, Happy New Year, everybody that's listening. I hope everybody is ready to start that competitive season in a positive way. I have my co-host with me tonight, Desiree. Desiree, say hi.
Hey, everybody.
And we have our guest that I'll be introducing. But first, I just want to thank Click Nation, Click Nutrition for having us up in here. We're broadcasting live. If anybody want to stop in, pass along some messages. You send them on Facebook. You can send them in person if you want. And I'm going to introduce this guy. He's the first time I met him was in Kansas City, and we were talking, and he had an idea, and I see now that he actually followed through with that idea, because at the time, this is before Fred had challenged me to, or challenged all of natural bodybuilding to come up with a way to unite the organization, to get us all together and on one page, so we could start basically addressing the needs of the natural athlete. And Kofin had actually made that statement, and I see that he was actually willing to follow through on it. So, Kareem, introduce yourself to the people that might not know you, which would be hard to understand if they don't. But introduce yourself and let us know what's going on.
I'm Kareem, better known more affectionately by other people as Remo Petaway. I'm the president of the IFPA and also one of the founders of the WPA, the World Physique Alliance.
Yeah, now, you've actually done some competition, so this isn't a new arena to you. You've done, you've done a lot in natural bodybuilding. And for anybody that's new to the scene, this man is quite talented on stage as well as off. And how did you make the transition, and what drives that passion? Well, you know, like when we were having a conversation in Kansas City, where you're still looking ahead.
I started competing back in 2000. 2000 was my first show. Believe it or not, my very first show was an NPC show. And then I continued to do all tested shows after that. That was one of the most prominent ones that was in our area. So my first show was an NPC show. I won my class at that, and then I did two NGA shows, and then I got my WNBF pro card in 2002. I competed with the WNBF successfully from about 2003 to around 2007, and then started competing as an IFPA pro. So that's my background history in competing. And the last time I competed as an IFPA pro was actually in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I became the IFPA pro co-chairman in 2013, which is why I no longer, of course, compete in IFPA pro shows. taking over that and along with the other co-chairman, who was Fred Rolette and the president of the NAMBF.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of how I made that transition into learning more about the sport, I started promoting shows in 2004 under OCB, and, you know, I continued to grow within the industry, you know, spent a lot of time with a lot of athletes, spent a lot of time, meeting and working with and talking to other organizational leaders over the years, and continued to build the foundation and strengthen those relationships over time. So, as, you know, you and I had kind of discussed, you know, one of the things that we have in natural bodybuilding is the lack of unity, right? It's, you know, everyone mm-hmm. kind of wants to go on and do their own thing, or, you know, organizations were formed for whatever reason, mostly always with good intentions, but not continually to follow through with that mission.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I started thinking to myself, well, I kind of know many of the common issues that, you know, affect all of natural bodybuilding, and they aren't different between the organizations. They're pretty much the same. And what kind of ways can we work to remove those from the sport? So mm-hmm. I continue to build relationships with our affiliates. The IFPA affiliates are the NPAA in Canada. Kevin and Wendy Ashby the NOABA, the NOBA in Ohio, which is Nick Showman, the UNBA, which is Eric and Doris Waits, and the NENBF with Fred, and previously OCB. So I continue to meet with these guys over the years, strengthen our relationships over time, and, you know, we started saying to each other, hey, you know, it's time for us to come together. Our guidelines are already aligned with each other, and we're all IFPA affiliates, so there's really no reason why we couldn't come together and, you know, have share one mission and one vision and move forward from that. And that's what helped to be the basis of the WPA, which is the World Physique Alliance.
Okay, and that's a that's a pretty new announcement, because I think I just saw news about that rollout even just as early as yesterday.
Yeah, so that's a new organization. I no longer promote with OCB. All of my shows will be WPA shows. The World Physique Alliance, you know, I know there was some confusion around this. A lot of things were going on today, but the WPA is an IFPA affiliate. So that means that if you compete in a WPA show that's listed as a pro qualifier, you will earn IFPA pro status. Some of the key differences in that is that, you know, we have a lot of competitors who complain about geographical and other different preferences that they see depending on where they compete. So if they were to do a show in, like, the Midwest and then do a show on the East Coast, they feel as though that they're judged differently and the criteria is supposed to be the same. Some of the things the World Physique Alliance is doing to address that, and, you know, along with its other affiliates, is for us to have a judging oversight committee to get people certified and trained and, you know, adhere to the guidelines that that the organization has set forth, and also to kind of move judges around to other different areas so that, you know, you won't have like a set of judges that are in one particular area of the country and in another particular area of the country, that everyone's on the same page. And that we're on the, because a lot of times what you have is, say, when bikini came on the scene, or physique, and, you know, folks like updated their guidelines. Well, you never actually brought all those people in a room and said, hey, this is what we are looking for, and to get everyone on the same page. You also have judges who judge for other organizations, and the other organizations' guidelines are different than ours. So they could kind of like blur the lines and thinking, hey, well, I just judged a show for AMBC yesterday, and now I'm doing X, Y, and Z today, and their guidelines are different. So the judges' oversight committee will help to address those type of issues and help to get them in line. Another commonality between the organizations is drug testing. So, you know, a lot of people have had issues in, you know, urine not being taken properly, or, you know, discrepancies in confidence in some of the polygraphers, et cetera. So there will be a drug testing oversight committee as well to make sure that people are properly trained in collecting urine, and that the chain of custody is properly followed all the way through. Also that, you know, we'll have an auditing process for polygraphers where we'll have a member of that committee to sit in at times and kind of, you know, sit in through a polygraphy test and audit that and, you know, take notes and make sure that the polygrapher is asking all the questions that they're supposed to be asking, that they're vetted properly. We're also having people to take a look at new substances as they come out and see if they are harmful to our athletes. One of the other differences that I'm very happy about is having an advisory council. And the advisory council, while it's a part of the organization, is kind of like an independent arm of it, and it's made up of people who are very well respected within the bodybuilding community and who have experience across multiple organizations. So what they're basically are there to do is to be the voice of natural bodybuilding. So pretty much anyone can talk to anyone who would be on the council and say, hey, this is a concern that I have, or, hey, these are suggestions that I have. You know, I think that we should go in this direction, or, like, myself as an athlete, this is something that's of great concern to me, and the council will have those recommendations and bring them before the board. So as it stands right now, we're still taking on members, but of the those who I can say who are on board now are Cliff Wilson, Marshall Johnson, Tina Paratino, Will Usher, those are the people who are initially on the advisory council as we continue to grow. And those people have experience, you know, working across, you know, they've worked with DFAC and AMBF and WMBF and OCB and IPA, so they kind of know the ins and outs, and they're neutral voices that, you know, can provide a lot of valuable feedback to the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you've done your homework and your research. And, you know, just to put people's minds at ease, the IFEA is not going away.
No, the IFEA is not going away. I know that there had been some posts I saw flying around earlier today, and usually if you see me make a post somewhere, if I make a post and it's public into something where people have kind of like, you know, you usually see these long ongoing threads, I will only post once. I will never post again within that thread. Basically, if you want the information, you should come to the source for the information. The IFEA mm-hmm. co-chairmans are Kareem Pettaway and Fred Rolette. If you want information in regards to IFEA, then we are the two gentlemen that you should reach out to get that information from. If things continue to go back and forth, you know, it's shared, there's a lot of misconception, there are a lot of things taken out of context, the people who you should be addressing are the people who are actually responsible for making the decisions, and we are the ones who make the decision for the organization. IFEA will not be dissolved. IFEA is not going anywhere. It's unfortunate, you know, as you saw that there was an announcement that OCB has is no longer affiliated with IFPA, but that does not impact IFPA. All the IFPA shows are hosted by promoters who are not part of OCB, so we don't lose any shows in regards to that.
Okay, and I think that's a big question that has been on a lot of competitors' mind, because, you know, there are those that are already invested in IFPA shows for 2016, or those that have them, you know, in their sights for the future, and now, you know, you see news where, you know, IFPA may no longer be, and all of a sudden you're like, well, crap, why? Why haven't I heard this before? What am I supposed to do now? So
And you know, and rightfully so, you know, if I was an athlete, you know, I would feel that way. But again, you know, as I stated, and I sent out an email to the athletes earlier as well, you know, to all the mm-hmm. IFPA pros, and I posted it on my page as well and the IFPA pro Facebook page. So the IFPA website actually was going through a change, and it just so happened this happened at the same time, but it'll be back up in the morning, and most of the links and everything still work on it. We're changing the face of it, you know, for the new year and updating some additional information. But IFPA isn't going anywhere, I assure you of that.
Well, thank you so much for clearing it up. And, you know, I'm glad that you and Fred have been so easily accessible to do this. But let's get back to the WPA, because I'm liking the theme that you're doing, and this is something that you've thought out quite a bit, because it's basically addressing a lot of the complaints that we've been hearing over the years. So, you know, when you were getting that kind of input, who did you get it from, and basically how did you come up with the grand scheme of things?
Oh, man, basically over the past 2 years, I got a lot of input from the UNBA, from the NOABA, the NAMBF, of course, and the MPAA, speaking to, you know, Kent Beerley, the head of the AMBF, and some of their promoters. Actually, before I actually had announced the WPA, you know, I reached out to the AMBF and to DFAC as well, and to WMBF, with ways that I think that we can work together. You know, mm-hmm. over the years, there's been, you know, in some instances, bad blood between organizations, but I think for the most part, all of them still have the main intent at heart, you know, and that's to protect us and the athletes. So I presented a plan to those organizations on how we could work together in sharing information versus how it had been done before, and also to clear up some confusion with the competitors. Not to get too far off on that, and I guess I can circle back around it so I can address your original question, like, you know, original question on how I came to this. As you saw in the press mm-hmm. release, things were pretty well detailed and outlined. In fact, I was happy because I didn't get one question. I didn't get like one question, like, you know, if somebody was confused or anything like that. So I think I did my job in regards to that.
Yes,
but,
you did.
You know, when Yeah, when I travel to these shows, like when you saw me at Fred's show, like I'm mm-hmm. just going to those shows and just basically just talking to everybody. I flew out to mm-hmm. the UNBA show. I just hung out backstage with all the athletes. I came out to when Bob Matina's show was still part of the IFPA. I flew there and just hung out in the back with the athletes. I go to the amateur shows and I hang out in the back with the athletes. If you look at my page or the IFPA page or, you know, formerly the OCB page, you would see all these pictures and videos and stuff. Like, that's me, like, live at a show, like, you know, updating mm-hmm. stuff from there. And I'm taking pictures and, like, I'm listening to people. I talk to the vendors. I talk to the promoters. At the Pro Bowl last year, you know, and if you saw, been following Ryan Franklin, who's been doing a phenomenal job, like capturing these experiences.
Yeah.
I had him to interview every single IFPA pro, you know what I'm saying, at a show. The promoters, you know, get their feedback. I had him to set up before just backstage where people are pumping up and getting ready for a show and just randomly just talk to people and, you know, and get their story. Like, hey, how did you get into this? You know, how are you feeling? You know, why did you choose to do this show? That type of thing. And it's kind of giving people the some visibility and also the opportunity to express themselves. And also to inspire other people as well with their own personal journeys. So that was something that I was very happy about, and I got a lot of feedback from that. At the Yorton this year, you saw we had actual live commentary from the Yorton, which had never been done before. You know, it was streamed, which people mm-hmm. have done before previously. But, you know, Liz and Ryan did a great job of getting information on all of the pros and was able to speak intelligently about them as they were gracing the stage. So, over time, you know, I've started to brought a lot of different elements to my shows. Like, if you go to the Presidential Cup, one of the things I do is I hide bags under the seats for the audience. And at some point during the show, you know, we'll ask people to lift up under their things, and they're like goodie bags. They're like T-shirts and stuff like that. But I put something different in two of them, and I'll give away a prize to the audience. So I'll give away swords, you know, et cetera, like stuff like that to the audience. And backstage, I generally do a lot for the athletes and switched more from, like, you know, you have a goodie bag and it has samples and stuff like that in it, which is cool. But, you know, if I have one sample of, like, a pre-workout or something like that, like, that's one sample. I started trying to give away things that were much more tangible to the athletes. So you may have seen me post some things where, you know, I was giving out, like, you know, really nice tri-blend tank tops to people, you know, like drawstring bags, you know, like shaker cups, stuff like that, things that people carry around, which also helps with the branding, you know, on the same time. But these are things that people can actually, mm-hmm. they're actually keepsakes for them to have. I've given away crystal roses to the women at our shows, you know, stuff like that. And I've tried to duplicate that across the organization and have those things for the athletes. So Gym Lunatics, which is one of my companies, we sent IFPA jackets and shirts to every IFPA pro show this year. So all the IFPA pros receive jackets or tank tops or, you know, stuff like that. You may have seen people wearing the IFPA qualified T-shirts, which they earn by qualifying for the year, and that was creative for all of them as well to say, hey, you know, like, this is something that I accomplished. This is something that I earned. It's not something that's just given.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that were all, you know, really important elements to me, and being around and immersed in the community on a regular basis is how I came up with all of those different solutions and things that I created for the WPA.
Now, the WPA, I mean, you've done a good job of setting the infrastructure, but it sounds like there's still going to be a lot of training, a lot of groundwork that still needs to be done. I mean, I guess, what kind of is the timeline when we will see this machine in motion?
The first WPA show will be part of Mass Weekend, and if you don't know what that is, you can just go to massweekend.com, which is, it's going to be huge for us. It's, the IFPA Pro Bowl will be there. We'll be having a USA weightlifting competition, a USA powerlifting competition. We're having a CrossFit competition. We're having a military, police, and fireman competition. Lane Norton is hosting a VIP weekend and holding two seminars. Core Nutritionals, along with Cliff Wilson and Doug Miller and Marshall Johnson, are hosting two seminars and also an invitation out to train. And it will be an entire weekend in the Washington, D.C. area. It will be from Friday, April the 22nd through the 24th. So there'll also be a strongman competition too, and a strong woman competition. So we have people coming from all across the nation for this, and it's going to be pretty big. Tiger Fitness and MTS is involved. MHP is on board. So this is going to be really big for us. It's going to the WPA show will be held in the main ballroom. So this will actually give people the opportunity to be in front of a much larger and diverse audience than they had ever been in before for a bodybuilding show. And mm-hmm. it's helping to bring across all of these different areas of health and fitness into one big explosive weekend. And that's something I'm very excited about. And that's where the WPA's first show will debut at that.
All right. Well, we'll have to check that out. And where did you say again that folks should look for more information about that?
MassWeekend.com. It stands for Mid-Atlantic Super Strength Weekend. So M-A-S-S weekend.com. In addition to some of the other things that are a little different as well is that, you know, the WPA hosts Military Police and Firemen Division. And, you know, I've already had a relationship with the Wounded Warrior Project. And so for some of these events, we'll be donating money to police, firemen, and military type charities. We also will be working with the Healthier Generation organization, which helps to teach kids how to eat properly. So one of the other things I had brought up to, you know, many of our other folks before is that, you know, as natural bodybuilders, et cetera, you know, we always like to brag, hey, we're drug free, you know, don't do steroids. However, none of us are very well versed in that area, and we seem to fall short of that mission. It seems that we like to talk a lot, right? But we don't really help anybody with health and fitness, and we also are not knowledgeable about the dangers of illegal substances or like performance enhancing drugs. Example would be, mm-hmm. you know, if someone who is an advocate or they're part of a leukemia, you know, nonprofit society, right? They can tell you exactly how someone gets leukemia. They can tell you all the dangers of different things around it or like, you know, what their mission is behind that, right? And the challenges that they face. But if you were to point to something on one of our drug testing guidelines and someone said, hey, what is that? No one in the natural bodybuilding community for the most part can tell you what it is. So how are you going to educate somebody on what it is that they should not be doing and why they should not be doing it when you aren't knowledgeable about it yourself? So you notice that a lot of bodybuilding shows are actually held at high schools. Yet we've never walked into a high school and said, hey, you know, where's your athletics team or something, right? You know, we would like to speak to them, you know what I'm saying, about how to train properly, about, you know, how to stay away from steroids, et cetera. Because you know, most of these kids start getting into steroids if they're playing sports, you know, in their later years in high school and even as young as, like, middle school nowadays. So by having us to walk into those schools and then saying, hey, you know, how can we get involved, you know, with you and to help to bring a different awareness about that to people, you know, we can invite them out to the show. It's right there. They go to the high school already, you know, just invite them out to come up on a Saturday and give them tickets to come in. And I think that would be a great way to hope to immerse ourselves in the community as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and that's just a great example of walking the talk. And I think that's, you know, exactly what more of the young people need is they need to see, you know, that philosophy being lived and in action. And besides, what's more exciting than a weekend of bodybuilding and throwing around weights and all of that good kind of stuff, too?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I know, I'm excited.
Yeah, so when I took a step back at it, I was like, you know, again, we set this mission out, right? But then we don't follow it. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to form and create the advisory council. So basically, it makes us kind of not steer away from what our mission is. Like, hey, like, you know, tap us on the shoulder. Like, hey, you guys said you were going to do this, you know what I'm saying? So let's make sure that we stay on course on what it is. And over time, you know, things start to evolve. And as things start to evolve, you know, more people in the community are going to be aware of that or what it is that they would like to see, right, than we are sitting wherever it is that we're sitting and to keep our eyes open, you know, to the community.
So And that's, I mean, it's, I'm really enjoying all of the things that you're saying, you know, and I think the WPA, it's going to be an awesome thing, you know, once it gets rolling full steam. But I know one of the questions out there that's rolling around is with the introduction of this new organization, you know, and granted, we're going to have just your side of the story, but let's go ahead and get it because we've got you on the line. But is this, I mean, how much is it going to, is what it's bringing to the sport outweigh what it could potentially be taking away by segmenting even more? Or what are your thoughts on that?
So it wasn't created to segment, and, you know, one area where unfortunately I can't speak further on, but again, the goal of WPA is unity. And there are other organizations that will eventually become one organization. And so as far as segmenting, WPA was not created to splinter, it was created to unite. Mm-hmm. And so that will happen, and that's the mission of WPA. So that the some of the areas where you may think that some organizations are splintered, they will actually meld into one. In situations where we can't meld into one, we will find as many ways as possible to work with other organizations. So, for instance, one of the things I suggested to some of the other organizations was that, you know, we share information. Now, you know, this has been a hot topic between some of the leaders within the organization for a while because some of them are sharing information, but these were some of my concerns, was that, one, if you are an athlete and you sign that waiver agreement to do a show with XYZ, you have not given your consent to share your information with organization ABC. And some of the other organizations also ban athletes, you know, if they fail with one organization to the other, which could also be viewed as being discriminatory because you have not informed that athlete that, hey, if you fail with us, you fail with everyone. So my suggestion was that, you know, we actually have an agreement to share information that, you know, that has been reviewed and is legal and that is shared with the athletes so that they can make an educated decision about what it is that they're doing and knowing the implications of that.
I like that. No, Kareem, yeah. I just want to say that what you're saying is thought about a lot in a lot of organizations. And thankfully now, you know, a lot of sponsorship people that have been wanting to do that. I know J.B., Joe and Chad have been talking about visiting the schools and updating people, you know, basically preventing the damage before the damage happens. So I'm very on board with that because it does have to be an outreach. And I know Vicky McCann had talked about this well, where she was saying, you know, each one teach one and then teach as many as you can because it seems more like we're getting away from the whole point, and that's health and fitness. But one thing I'd like to ask is, you know, when with the WPA, is it going to do more promoting of the different athletes, or what's going to be unique about that in that arena?
For as far as like providing the exposure, you know, we're looking at other ways to continue to do that and find the best outlets in which to do that. So I have a relationship with Tiger Fitness where Tiger Fitness gets anywhere from 100,000 to 1 million hits per day, and they will feature our athletes on their site where I'm not sure if you've been there before, but, you know, their site has been revamped and it's providing a great outlet for articles and ways to give people, you know, additional exposure, as well as providing additional opportunities for sponsorship for people. So, for instance, at the WPA show at Mass Weekend, the fitness model division is giving away $500 to each person who wins, and also a fitness apparel sponsorship. Nationals Championship for amateurs is open to anyone who's placed top three, regardless of organization, to compete in that championship show. And that show will give away $500 to each person who wins their IFPA Pro Card. So these are additional, you know, things that are being offered to athletes that weren't available before. on a grander scale and trying to be continue to be duplicated across the nation. So in addition to, I guess, circling back around to, like, the drug testing thing, is that one of the other things I suggested is that when you if you go to a drug testing guideline for an organization, whether it's, you know, DFAC, you know, AMBF, WMBF, et cetera, you know, it becomes very confusing to athletes because, you know, they're trying to look through all these different guidelines, right, and they're pretty lengthy, and determine, you know, what it is they can take, what they can't take, et cetera. Well, about 90 to 95% of those guidelines for all the organizations are the same. Like, if you were to go to one, that whole top portion, this, like, steroids and growth hormone and, you know, diuretics is the same. Then there are some subtle differences between, you know, at the end, like AMBF allows, like, HRT with a doctor's excuse. I think that WMBF now is banning, you know, like, 7-keto, et cetera. But you could have that list consolidated, and then at the end, just show the differences, the small differences between the organizations. So to say all of these above are banned, right, in all of these organizations, and then, like, have WMBF, and then say, in addition, the WMBF does not allow the use of 7-keto, et cetera. So an athlete can look at that and just quickly determine, right, what organization they can compete in, or, like, if they've taken this substance within this amount of time, et cetera, from one sheet. Versus having to keep going through all these other different, you know, trying to figure out what can they do in this organization, what they cannot do in that other organization. Another thing is that, you know, some organizations don't honor the polygraph examinations from others, which is understandable if you have different bodybuilding guidelines, drug testing guidelines. However, I think it's also possible to say that, hey, you can have the polygrapher to administer, like, the full panel test, right, and say and sign off, hey, that this person has passed for everything that's on this list, you know, under all the other organizations, and then that can be accepted by another organization, which saves the competitors money. So, for instance, the AMBF accepts polygraph examinations from other organization shows, which saves the competitors money because if they're doing a show within the same timeline, right? So, for instance, Tina Paratino, she promotes the AMBF show. It's the week after my show in April. So a competitor will be able to do my show and then do her show without having to take another polygraph examination and pay the fee again, long as it was within the stipulated time between, you know, polygraph examinations. So I think that those are other ways.
No, go ahead.
No, so those are just other ways that I was saying that we know organizations can work together without it really not being any conflict between each organization or stepping on each other's toes or, you know, operational impacting decisions. These are just ways that we can then help to clean up the sport by working together. And the AMBF and the DFAC, you know, who responded, you know, initially are very passionate about that. And I'm looking forward to us, you know, coming to some understanding and helping to clean up the sport.
Well, now, this is just throwing it out there because this is something that you don't see. And I'm waiting for the day when, you know, because we do need to grow the sport because we are basically in not limbo, but just not growing at a pace with the competitive nature and with the look of these athletes and you know how they're keeping that year round appearance now. Do you think there will come a day where an organization would send out like satellite sponsored athletes where they're going to supplement stores or doing booths at schools like you were saying and you know, they wouldn't have to foot the whole bill or foot the bill at all where, like, it would be the organization saying, this is our champion and this is the person that won and this is what a natural athlete can look like.
Yeah, I would hope that, you know, that we could get to that point, you know, at some day. But, you know, at the same time, each organization is still a business, right? And
yes.
As it still stands, we are competitors, like, in business. So, you know, cooperation, depending on which organization is only going to go but so far to a certain extent because, you know, people will always have their own ideology of how they want to go about running their business. But the part that does prevent that, though, is because, you know, where you may have, of course, one of the larger organizations, which is non-tested, is extremely powerful. and that the amount of numbers, sheer numbers of members that they have, they're able to easily garner and kind of monopolize, you know, sponsorships and, you know, different areas and venues. So as you can see what we're doing with Mass Weekend and other things that I'm working on right now, I'm trying to take us to a level where we can start to command larger venues and also to have much larger draws at our shows than what we have now. Now, to grow any organization, of course, you know, you need money. So I know that the organizations, a lot of times people think that, hey, an organization is just trying to get money, they're just trying to get money. An organization needs money to grow, and it just depends on what you do with that money. So, for instance, in me helping to grow the IFPA, the IFPA's minimum payout is higher than any other natural organization. Like, we have a requirement of minimum payouts, and that was brought about from the athletes. Another thing that people don't know is that IFPA actually pays for the urinalysis for every IFPA show. And a urinalysis test is about $100 to $110, right? An IFPA membership is $100. So basically, the membership that we take in is used almost 100% for prize money and urinalysis. So if you were to take how many IFPA pros there are, and then you were to take in the amount that we spend on urinalysis and also in promoter assistance for payouts, it almost negates the entire amount that comes in for IFPA every year.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to continue to grow and be able to do even more for the athletes, you know, then we need to, you know, at some point, you know, get past a certain tier so that we can do that as well. Like, I would love to see the payouts for the IFPA pros to go deeper than the top three. Mm-hmm. I actually do top five, but the organizational requirement is the top three. I would like to see, you know, it go deeper and the money to go higher.
Yes.
So what does I was just going to say, the WPA is moving full steam, and the IFPA sounds like it is too. Are you going to continue to be a major representative of both organizations, or what's your future in all of this?
For right now, you know, WPA gets up and running until the other organizations who will be involved throughout the year, and then eventually in 2017 when we make that move, then I will probably step back more from the WPA once those other organizations get involved, and, you know, we kind of, break bread, so to speak, and as far as, like, you know, roles and responsibilities and how that would play out.
Let me go there. Hold on. Now, this is more like an outreach, because you really touched on something and a topic that I'm really appreciating that you'd even want to bring up, because it does say that, you know, you have to, it's exposure, but it's exposing yourself. So, you know, you basically have to back up everything you're saying. And that's about the going to the different schools with promoting the actual beast that we are, which is natural bodybuilding. Would you be sending people, or would you be going yourself, or how would you go about making that happen where it's feasible? Because, you know, like you said, there is a limit to what you can do, so we have to make that time valuable and valid. How would you go about doing that?
By reaching out, so actually the schools where I've been having my show, that I have a good relationship with their staff there. So me being able to get into areas where my presence is dominant as far as, like, my shows, that would not be much of an issue. On the Healthier Generation org, they have a lot of different ways to get involved. They have where you can hold fundraising events, where you can sponsor athletes or have an athlete sponsored, that, you know, they can come out to events and stuff like that you have. So my goal with them is to get them more involved in coming out to our shows, and for us to align with them and coming and being involved in things that they're doing as volunteers. So, we're right now working on a schedule to try to figure out, you know, how we can align with them and, you know, make it strategic so that we can have the greatest impact.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
that's
it's going to change a lot of people's minds because, you know, speaking from a personal standpoint, you know, when I was in high school, I was well aware of steroid use, and, you know, there were people that were actually using it that were in our school. So it's not that these children, I don't want to say children, these young adults don't know about what they're dealing with. I think they need to see that, that it doesn't have to actually happen.
Yeah, and I found that out like later. I remember my cousin was telling me that, you know, some of the guys that we, you know, went to high school with and stuff like that, they were using steroids. He told me it's like maybe like in the past 3 or 4 years. And I was like, really? Like, I didn't know people were using steroids back then. And I remember going to the vitamin shop one time years ago. I think this is when like Andro or something like that was still available. And it's not that far from the University of Maryland. And I think when they were talking about banning it, they basically told me that all these kids came, like, in from school and just basically, like, bought the entire school out. And that kind of, like, you know, shook me up a little bit. I'm like, you know, like, really? Like, these, you know, kids were, like, using all this stuff or, you know, even back, you know, when I was in high school, I'm not going to date myself and let anybody know who I am. Hold on. it's been a minute. my birthday's coming up, but it's been a minute. And, you know, I was kind of shocked, you know, about that. And, you know, my son is very athletic. He started playing football for the first time this year. And I remember a couple of years ago when his mom had said to me, hey, you know, he wants to use, like, this, like creatine or, you know, some other different like things, whatever, I guess that he was seeing. And I guess you probably don't think that kids, you know, how gullible they may be or how uneducated they may be about something, because like they're in school, they're teaching them about, you know, about sexually transmitted diseases and all this other type of stuff. Right. But it's not going to be a conversation about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, I remember, like, you know, going to sex ed classes when I was younger, and they show you all the pictures, and I'm like, oh, no, like, I would never, like, happen. So, but, you know, they're not showing anybody with site injections or or synthol pumps and stuff like that in high school, so we need to do a better job.
Definitely so, because, I mean, it is happening younger and younger. But, you know, with organizations such as yourself, it's also creating a bigger stage for teen athletes to compete, you know, with your teen division and so forth. So, you know, great opportunity to not only educate them, but then give them an opportunity to, you know, compete as a natural athlete. So, which is bringing me back to your Mass weekend. So that's coming up here soon. Who are, I guess, what categories, what competitors is the show open to?
So for that, the amateur division of the WPA, which is a NIFPA pro qualifier, will have bodybuilding, figure, men's physique, women's physique, and bikini. And those will just all be open classes. And the reason they will all be open classes and not have any crossovers is just because of the sheer amount of athletes for the weekend. And, you know, not being able to actually, you know, pull off having crossover divisions at that show. The military, police, and firemen and the fitness model portion, sports fitness model portion, will be actually held on Sunday. The IFPA Pro Bowl will start Friday night, so we'll have a live stream conference for the IFPA pros. We'll have a press conference for those guys, and we'll stream it live for everyone to see. And then their prejudging will start Friday night, and they'll be on stage first thing in the morning getting live judged on Saturday.
Okay, cool. And they can just check out the Mass Weekend website, or is it Facebook page that gets them to the registration information?
MassWeekend.com.
Okay.
Okay. And
all right, everybody.
A lot of the pros also indicated to me that I guess they plan on doing the powerlifting competition too, some of those who are competing, so that'll be good to see.
And that is not uncommon. I kid you not. I swear at least 50% of the athletes that we talk to on the show, they're either are a powerlifter or getting into powerlifting.
Yep, exactly.
So that'll be an exciting element as well. Were you saying something,
yes,
Kaylin, or did I cut you off again?
Well, I wanted to ask because, you know, this is a new organization, and for the people that have been to his status that he put out there on social media, they might know, but for the ones that aren't familiar, just go over how the links and the website and everything so everybody can get the official information so there's no guesswork.
Yes, so it's the worldphysiquealliance.com. Is one word, and that's how they would find all of the list of shows for the WPA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so then you also said then that the WPA, if you qualify for your pro card there, it's also recognized by the IFPA, correct?
Yeah, so the WPA is actually only an amateur organization. It's a feeder to the IFPA.
Okay.
So the shows are indicated as IFPA pro qualifiers. So with some of the standards that we have set across the board for all of the IFPA affiliates is like, you know, a first-time show cannot be an IFPA pro qualifier. And a show that has you have to hit a threshold of at least 50 competitors at a show before the next year your show can be an IFPA pro qualifier. So all of my existing shows have been IFPA pro qualifiers for one of them probably as long as 10 years. So all of my shows are still IFPA pro qualifiers. And any other promoters who have come over from OCB who already had IFPA pro qualifying shows, their pro qualification will stand. All new shows that are being added will not be pro qualifiers.
Okay. Well, that's good
enough. Now I'm really impressed with I'm really impressed with where he's going with this, and I'm really excited to see, you know, because there was so much misinformation, and you know, I think, first off, thank you, Remo, for basically coming on and dispelling the myth that was almost created because of the way things are going, and you know, it growth in anything does have people bumping heads every now and then, and there have times where, you know, with the risk is, you know, the reward, but there's also the fallout for some people that might feel like they want to unaddressed or you know, mistreated. So, you know, much love for the respect that you've given, and the way you've worded everything, and just the nature that you came on the show. And I know Dez has some more questions, so I'll let her get to it.
Right.
You know, and actually I think we have pretty much covered everything that I was looking to cover. You know, the biggest questions out there were, you know, what was happening to the IFPA? Is it being disbanded? Clearly that's not happening. Have a much better picture now of what the WPA was created to do and the direction that it's going and the next steps that, you know, people can take to get involved with it. So I'm just glad to have more information out there. Obviously, you know, we have your perspective of it, and there are a lot of others that are out there. But, you know, it's good just to have the dialogue going and, you know, just getting more communication and more information out there so folks can start doing their own homework but have a little more to go off on when they're looking into, you know, the different opportunities that are out there. But, you know, anything that has the potential to make the sport stronger and give the athletes a bigger platform to perform on, you know, I think it's got to be a good thing. But time will tell just exactly, you know, where everything is going to go.
Yes, exactly. And like again, you know, I spent a lot of time speaking to a lot of people and getting their feedback before WPA was actually formed, and you know, and getting a lot of support, you know, both publicly and privately. You know, you saw, like, in the press release, a lot of quotes from, you know, different people across the industry in regards to how they felt about the organization, and they have little more insight, you know, into what's going on, and they've actually seen more detailed plans on how we plan to execute. And so that's what helped to gain additional support from them as well, because they can see that there's an actual plan and there are steps in that plan to be executed and how they would be involved. And I'm looking forward to, you know, strengthening relationships with the other organizations as well, as I mentioned before, and continuing to grow those. So, I'm very excited for 2016, I should say, and beyond.
I just got two questions I'd like to ask you. They just came in, so please forgive me. One is, will the WPA and NNBF be following the same judging criteria since both organizations are catalysts for the IFPA?
The WPA's judging criteria is a little different as far as, like, scoring rounds. They will eventually, you know, be aligned at some point. You know, that's something that Fred and I have to discuss. But as far as how folks are judged, as far as what we're looking for, that will be the same. WPA, when I'm speaking in regards to rounds of how, you know, we go about it, is that, for instance, like if it's bodybuilding, the first rounds are like a symmetry round and then a muscularity and conditioning round. The NNBF, you know, judges very similarly, but I think that they're, the way that it's communicated on our sites is a little different. The one thing that I've always liked about the NNBF is that they really hold their judges accountable. They bring them to a table, you know, after, like, prejudging or whatever, and they walk through the scoring, you know, with each judge. And, you know, each time that I've been out there, like, you know, when I was out there in Kansas that time, Fred was standing and say, hey, like, what do you think about that? Like, is that too extreme? Is that? Like, what is it that we're looking for? And then the judges invite the competitors to come and speak to them, right, and make sure that they're all on the same page. So that was one of the operational characteristics I always admired about the NNBF and one of the things that I picked up on in forming the new organization. But as far as what we're looking for, the NNBF will be very much involved in a lot of things that we have going on, and they will be sharing the load as far as judges across the WPA.
Okay, thank you. And I can honestly vouch for that because I've seen Keith Hunter at work, and if he's got something he ain't sure about, he's definitely going to chime in. The next question is, will the IFPA 2016 shows be up on the website tomorrow?
Yeah, it was a website where we were, you know, having all the testing and stuff going on. So right now the files are being moved over as we speak to the new hosting site. So the schedule will be updated. I actually sent out the 2016 schedule to all of the IFPA pros in a newsletter earlier today. So they have that information, but, you know, their website will be up and running, fully functional tomorrow. Actually, some of the links that are on it now still work, but we're just changing, like, some of the images and the colors on the site and stuff like that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Beth?
You know, that's all that I've got. Kareem, in our last couple of minutes here, I know we've been mostly talking about the WPA and the direction of the sport and the industry, but, you know, just in general for all of our competitors and, you know, future competitors and athletes that are listening, why don't you send us home with just some words of motivation or wisdom that can help anyone in this sport?
That can help anyone in the sport. So you're just going to put me on the spot just like that.
Of course.
Well, one thing that I've like learned, like, in as a competitor as well, I remember at my first pro show, which actually was the Kansas City Pro Show in 2003, which I won, and being backstage, it was a young gentleman, and he was a pro, and he, you know, was talking to me. He was like, yeah, you know, you guys have great physiques. You know, I would never be able to really stand up there, you know, like, against you guys. And I was telling him, well, you know, you're a pro, like, you earn that status, and, you know, no matter where you place, you know, all that matters is that you got out there and that you did your best. So, you know, you hear a lot of times people say, you know, I went out there to compete, you know, against myself, and that is true, and that's something that I think people should be reminded of each time that they look in the mirror, that's long as they know that they've done everything that they needed to do, then they should be happy with that. So people forget or don't know about the journeys that others have had to go through. Like, there'll be someone on stage sometimes, and say the person weighs like 170 pounds, and people are like, hey, that person is not lean enough, they shouldn't be on stage. Well, that person may have been 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And I've had friends who have actually been 300 pounds and got on stage at 180 pounds. And from that point on, they continue to live a healthy lifestyle, and they continue to follow that. So, whatever you do, you need to, you know, really clearly define your purpose and what it is that you're doing, to stay true to yourself about your mission and your goal. And no matter what nobody else says to you, as long as what you're doing, you know, is right, then feel confident within yourself and knowing and being proud of your accomplishments.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, we're coming to the part of the show that is always the saddest part of the show, and that's the end of the show. But before we get there, I just want to thank all of our listeners for joining us for the very first show of 2016. Carolyn and I are so happy to be continuing on, and very fortunate to have Kareem join us on this evening. If there were
one
any
question.
Questions... Oh, my goodness. Ask it.
I have one. This is for Kareem. Kareem, I'm getting messages saying that not all the IFPA pros received the information that you were talking about, and I'm thinking it might have been because of that glitch you were speaking of earlier.
Okay, yeah. So the... it'll be reposted back on the IFPA web Facebook page. I'll just post it there. But it was sent out as a newsletter to everyone, so make sure that they check their spam as well. Just basically reiterating everything that I said before, that the IFPA is not going anywhere and we're moving full steam ahead. And, you know, it gave a list of who our current affiliates are.
Thank you very much.
Very good. All right. Any more questions?
No, that's the last one I received.
And not that we don't.
I don't want the listeners. I don't want the listeners to think we're ignoring them. So
That's right, we do. And if there are any listeners that still have questions that weren't answered tonight, but didn't get them submitted, feel free to visit the Midwest Muscle site on our page on Facebook. And you can message your questions there, and we will collect all of those, and we will answer those on this Thursday show at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So we will catch up on anything that we didn't get to tonight. And then we're going to be speaking with a lovely gal. Her name is Sarah Stallman, and she cut her teeth in bikini competitions here in the States, but then she crossed over more to figure on an international stage. So we're going to be talking more about that and international competing and how she balances training with her career as a performer on cruise ships and various places overseas. So it should be a pretty good show. But with that, Kareem, we do want to thank you so much for joining us and just sharing all the information that you have shared with us. And, you know, we look forward to seeing the things that are coming. So thanks again. It's been a treat to have you.
All right. Thank you. I very much appreciate it for both of you having me on and the work that you guys continue to do on behalf of natural bodybuilding. Much respect.
And so on behalf of myself and Kaylin and P for P, if your body is a temple, let's build it.
Yep.